what got his ass now?
Do I have to be fast on the track?
I hate that guy.
This race could change the rest of your life.
Those absolute clowns at 15BMX.com.
Go on, do my best, and whatever happens, then it's good.
My butt all got stretched a little bit. And
I got a tight little butt.
Look, I'm about to light this shit up.
Coffee Chatter Live, where are you guys at? Oh, Canada! Coming out of the answer tent right now. Pop Dog, Millionaire! Let's make some noise, Tori Nighthawk! Whoa!
Show 232, Monday, January 29th, 2024. We got the Phoenix recap show, the Desert Classic recap, the Rattlesnake Open recap, whatever you want to call it.
I like the Rattlesnake Open. I love that name. That's just fantastic.
You ever seen a rattlesnake?
No, and I hope not.
I almost ran one over at Chula a few years ago.
For real?
I was pedaling along the path, and I looked up. No joke, there was one right in front of me. I almost pedaled right over top of it.
That's hilarious.
I think they're everywhere there. Anyway.
We're starting off the show classic janky fashion. I don't know what's going on. Shows were live. People are saying we're live. There's crazy internet lag, apparently. I don't know what's going on here.
We got lag.
We got issues. Fine. All I know is I'm going to close that. I'm going to hope it doesn't, you know, just completely run down our broadcast.
Dude,
we got going
we're good.
On here.
All right. We got it on right here. We're good.
You're my friend and I trust you. You are my friend.
Yeah, we're good.
I trust you.
So. We got seven people on in the first minute.
Okay. We're there we go. Standard issue.
Good thus far. They're piling in. We see you live, folks, on Facebook. Thank you for being active in the chat and listening live. Progate Europe, winning starts with a great gate. Cameron Larson was uncorking them on the weekend.
Wow, did he ever.
He's going to win a lot of laps on Progate Europe this year.
He has started off the year hot. I mean, he finished the year off hot, I feel like. He has now started the year off hot. He surprised me how fast he was looking against, you know, the cams were doing their thing. They're battling it out. He was ripping starts off. So expect him to be laying some down on a Progate Europe this year.
One of the most impressive performances by him I think I've ever seen. His whole shot on Friday, I mean, we'll get into it, but he fucking worked everyone. It wasn't even close.
Crazy, hey? Unreal. Yeah. The guy is an assassin off the start. His power to weight ratio is just incredible.
Yeah. Before we get into that, we got to touch on the devastating loss yesterday, my Baltimore Ravens. I can't think of anyone more unlikable in the planet than Travis Kelce. Fuck that guy. But yeah, tough loss for the Ravens.
That's tough. First off, Terry, we're having issues with our volume. Apparently you're a little low now, so maybe you jack that up just a smidgen and we'll keep it going.
Testing, and, testing, one, two, testing. How's that?
Well,
testing,
testing. I'll pull you down a bit. We're good.
Testing, how's that? Is it better?
We are really starting this show off really bitching, man.
Let's go, baby. How's this? It sounds better in my headphones, actually, come to think of it.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's fine with me. I think that works good.
It shows them green and yellow on my thing, which means it's ideal.
Perfect. That's what we want to see. That's what I want to hear.
All right. Give us some feedback, folks. If this is better, we'll keep it this way.
This show, we're here for you. You know what I mean? Like, we're here for us, but also we're here for you. We need to make it good for you. So
tough loss for the Ravens yesterday, like I was saying, though. They just gave the ball away way too many times. They fumbled the ball at the half yard line for the second year in a row in the playoffs when they had a for sure touchdown. Dumb penalties, undisciplined football, and we lost.
How do you feel right now?
It's been a while since my team in any sport has gone deep in the playoffs and been like the team to beat. So that was fun. I was nervous the whole game. It is frustrating. It never felt like we were going to win.
Dude, I'll be honest. Yeah, you guys, it was terrible. It's like you guys, like, I don't know, you started the game off fine. It looked like a normal football game for the very first little bit of time. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but you're like, Kansas City just went off for a little bit. And then it's like, you guys just had no idea what you're doing out there.
They looked over-amped. They looked like they were over, what's the word? Kind of like overcompensating for the moment. And Kansas City, championship team, obviously Pat Mahomes, proven winner. He just went out and did his. They were just going to work, and the Ravens looked like they were a bit, you know, deer caught in the headlights. They're trying to, I don't know, overcompensate. They were retaliating after the play, getting penalties. They're doing dumb shit.
It's like they were in the second half. It literally seemed like they were doing whatever they could to lose the game.
It's like, how do we throw this away?
It was unbelievable. Like every time you seemed like God. You started to get momentum, you guys would do something stupid, like take the taunting penalty, put you back 20, 15
Dude,
yards, and then you're at like 25,
penalty.
And it's like, cool, yeah, you don't even score there. Like, what are we doing?
So, Zay Flowers, the receiver, makes that huge play and gets the taunting penalty, and then he almost scores a touchdown and fumbles at the half-yard line. You can't be mad at him, though. He was the best player for the Ravens. He scored the first touchdown. He was the best player, but he did a couple dumb things that cost. But
do you think taunting should actually be a penalty? It's kind of lame. It's kind of like, I mean, that's kind of like the passion and what people look
for. Way,
it also
the way
starts
he did
fights,
it.
Though, so I see why, but...
Yeah, he should have got a penalty. He, like, fucking stood over top of him. You can't do that. Like, I mean, the other side, Kelsey was, like, Ravens were getting in his face, and he was, like, doing the first yard or the first down symbol. Like, that's fine. That's part of it, kind of just, like, rubbing it in the face. But you can't go over the top about it. Like, you got to keep those emotions in check. Yeah. You got to just play the game.
True, yeah. I felt like that your defense was fantastic. Your defense just kept you in the game in the second, like, the last quarter. Every time you guys would get the ball back, though, you just, like, had no idea. Like, Lamar threw it. I get it. He's great in the regular season. He's not your championship quarterback, dude. He's just
you bite
not.
Your tongue. He absolutely is the championship not, quarterback. Dude. He hasn't. He hasn't had that many opportunities to perform there. He'll get it done.
All right.
He will get it done. That last throw was tough. He threw it into triple coverage. I was like, dude, he wasn't even remotely open, the receiver.
That was unbelievable. Like, that was terrible.
That was terrible. Like, why are you fucking throwing to him, dude? He's got three guys covering him.
Yeah. You know what I think your problem is? You guys picked up Odell Beckham Jr. He's like he's the Kyrie Irving of the NFL. You know, he's got a lot of hype around him. He's done some cool shit, but he's just not going to win you a championship either.
He hardly played. The few times he played, he actually made some like decent plays. Like I think he got a reception for a fourth down conversion. He was like fine. He was like a accessory guy basically. He wasn't he's not a go-to guy. Lamar made some unbelievable plays. Like that when that throw got deflected, he went up and caught it himself and kept like
That's
he made
hilarious.
Or that,
that
first
was so good.
That first touchdown. It's like he was covered in grease and dipped a few guys and threw it in the end zone. I mean, Kansas City's a good team, so
It's funny. Kansas City looks like not that I can say that I watch football enough to know exactly, but. They're like the new, they're like the old Patriots, and the fact that they have like Kelsey, that's just Gronk, and then they have Mahomes, who's probably more athletic than Brady ever was. So it's just like it works for them. It works every time they manage to find a way.
They piss me off now, but you kind of want to see how many Mahomes can win compared to Brady.
I'm not at that point yet. You know me, I love legacies, huge legacy guy, but I like the Tom Brady legacy. I don't like Mahomes so far, so it's like. I want Kelsey to. I love the Kelsey and the Taylor Swift story. I'm all about it, dude. Give me that love story all day long. But you tell
me.
Mahomes now.
I had to unfollow Pat Mahomes on Instagram yesterday. I'm sure he's devastated by it. The reason I unfollowed him is because he did the classic. He posted a video where it was like, no one think I can do it. No one thinks I can do it. Odds are stacked against me. Blah. It's like, dude, what the fuck are you talking about? You're Super Bowl champion. It's like, he's one of those guys who likes to pretend that the world thinks he can't and just makes all this stuff up. Like, dude, everyone thinks you can. What are you talking about?
I think most people have his back. They think they're the best team in the league.
100, it's so annoying. It's like, no one's saying that stuff, dude.
It's how people like get themselves going. But like on the outside, when you know the team's legit,
dude.
And you know they're basically the team to beat, even if they don't look as good in the regular season, they're a championship caliber team. They're always going to be that team in the postseason where it's like, we think you're probably going to win.
And they just make up this narrative that like the whole world's against them and no one thinks they can. Literally, no one thinks that. Like,
literally,
no
you
one
have,
thinks that.
You have
you're the defending
the
Super Bowl.
Year.
You're the defending champion of the Super Bowl. What do you mean no one thinks you can do it?
You guys gained like half the world of fans because of Taylor Swift this year. You have a lot of people rooting with you right now. You guys are in a good spot.
God, that really rubs me wrong. That's super annoying. So I'll probably follow him again at some point, but I had to unfollow him. It's too much at this point.
You'll probably be really excited when you follow him back for sure.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
We got to touch on the other game because since my team's not in, I've been rooting for the underdog story, which
implosion.
Is Detroit.
Implosion.
Again, a team that just looked like they did not like they were trying, but they just did not want to win the game. Detroit just like they gave it away, dude.
The two most unlikable teams are in the Super Bowl. God, they both suck.
Kind of, yeah, yeah, it's true. Yeah.
So that's too bad. I was wanting Detroit to win.
It felt like Detroit should have won too. Like I didn't watch the entire game. I was busy, But the bits I was watching, they felt like the better team the whole time. But they just were kept like kind of going for these kind of Hail Mary plays, like the two fourth down plays. One of them okay, but second time to just kick the fucking field goal.
Yeah, one of the announcers said though, and it's true, is like you can't say it's like a good idea and then just because it doesn't work out say it's a bad idea. Like if they had got the conversion, you would have looked like a genius. The field goal wasn't a for sure thing. They're at like. I feel like they were at like the 35-yard line. It would have been like a 50-yard field goal. Yeah. It's not like that was a chip shot. I mean, you might not make that either. So I think they're the most aggressive team, I think, on fourth down, though, statistically. Yeah.
Now, I know that's been their gameplay all year, I think, from what I heard, too. But I just...
So you got to roll with it.
Don't they have like a... Isn't their kicker really good? I thought their kicker was like an all-star or like Hall of Famer kicker kind of deal. Like, you got to use the kicker.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. I don't know enough either, but...
The San Fran kicker is a plumber, man. That guy sucks.
Really?
He's just got a side. You know what's really a plumber on the side. I saw on Instagram one. I just saw this like half an hour ago. Yeah. One of the Detroit players. So right before halftime, it was like 24-7, something like that. Detroit was leading.
Yeah, that's when I saw.
He was waving goodbye to the San Francisco fans. It's like if you're doing that. Not even halfway through the game, of course you're going to lose. You can't do that. You can't count your chickens before they've hatched. You just can't.
You're losing the whole game for your team just because you're being an idiot.
And you know, I played team sports my whole life in addition to BMX. Like you never want to do something to embarrass the other team, because one, it gives them extra motivation. And even if they don't get you back that game, they never forget.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So you just don't do that.
You can't try to do that too at halftime period. Like if you're in the second half, or let's say you're in the middle of a play at the end of the third quarter, maybe let's say the start of the fourth quarter or something, you're in the play and you start trying to taunt, then it's like you're going back and forth. You can back it up. Mm-hmm. You do it at halftime. You're just giving people all that energy and motivation to come back and kick your ass in the second half.
Kiss of death.
Yeah, that's brutal. So.
So after the loss yesterday, the messages were rolling in. I was getting DMs and texts. It was really tough. I was starting to get, not happy about it. Miss Delaney Vaughn sent me a message. Yeah, it was tough. That's really tough.
Who's her team? Isn't she a Kansas City?
She's Kansas City fan.
Tough.
It was tough. I don't have a response to it. Like, what am I going to say?
I'll be honest. Like you said about
I had one teed up for Cam Wood if he was going to say something. I had a really good comeback, and I was waiting for it. I was waiting for it. Text never came, so it's okay.
Too bad. He was probably a little bit annoyed, a little bummed from the weekend. So,
Yeah. So I was ready to fire back with one, but I didn't need it.
Are you excited for the Super Bowl now? Like, I'm not. Like, I don't know. It's kind of. I'm obviously going to watch it, but
I'm very uninterested. I'll watch it because it's a Super Bowl, but I don't really care. I actually don't like either team, so. You know, I was about a month ago, I was saying I like Kansas City. If Ravens aren't playing, I like watching them. Fuck Kansas City. I don't like either of those teams.
I love it. You know what? Fair enough. You know what? At this point, I'm going to cheer for Cam Wood's team. I'm going to go for the 49ers. If your team's not in it, have some fun. Pick a team. Go with it. I'm going to go with the 49ers. Fuck it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll probably cheer for Cam. Not to cheer for her, but I think I probably like San Francisco less.
And then I also remember that T-Swift, you know, is Kansas City. So, you know, I'd love to see all the Swifties
She's boycotted in my book now.
There's no chance you're fucking skipping her songs if you're on the way to the track and T-Swift comes
boycotting.
On.
Boycotting.
Crazy. So.
Less than 2 weeks away to World Cup number one now in the BMX land of things.
Crazy, hey? We're getting close. Getting close. It feels like, I feel like last year we talked about it before the World Cup season. There wasn't much hype going on. Kind of felt like Turkey just came out of nowhere. It was like, okay, Turkey's here. Cool. Doesn't feel like it this year. This feel like you can feel the hype building. A lot of people over in New Zealand, Australia, getting training in, getting ready. It feels like we got some big races coming up because we do. There's a lot of points up for grabs in the next 2 months here, next month.
Yeah, no kidding. Kind of back to back too. So you better be ready. You don't have much time to change stuff around if you're not ready. Boy, the track looks fast, like really fast.
Yeah, what are you thinking of? I mean, both tracks look great. What do you think of Rotorua? I know it's a ways away. We're not going to get into it completely, but I mean, I think it looks pretty awesome so far.
It looks really good. Yeah, long, good, fast first straight, second straight two, and then the last two straights, like kind of rhythm sectiony.
Yep.
Tech, but you can go full speed. I like it. Yeah. I think it'll make for some good racing. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. Once like the fact that both tracks are three jump first straights, I don't think, yeah, Brisbane might not be as long, but still three jump first straights, plenty of room to open up, let it loose. Like that's what we're asking for.
And the three jump first straight is like very preferred among people. People like bitch about it all the time if it's not.
Yeah. It's just like you're going so fast in Supercross that two jumps, you have no time to like slot in, make set up a plet and pass or like, or have the option to get around from the outside. I think it makes it a lot tougher. I think you just seem like you see more drag racing. Like people love a good drag race, like especially on a flat hill. Three jump first straight is the drag race on Supercross.
Can you hear the humming like a lawnmower or something?
No. I think we're good. No, I can't hear anything. Yeah.
Okay.
Our technology is too fucking good, dude.
It is way too good. It blocks it out. So the three jump first straight is definitely preferable because you can, you know, make it work from the outside and stuff. I think you'll be able to pass on the track too. So I don't think it's going to be just a whole shot fest. Yeah, I like it. It's good.
Yeah.
It's a good track. Yeah.
We got some new, we'll call it new team things. Chris Wilkinson in the live chat reminded me too. Romain, he's on speed. No, I don't know if he's on the Speedco team, but he's riding Speedco bikes now. He switched off the Riff. So kind of a, I wouldn't say a random change, but definitely an interesting one just based off the time of year. Deciding he just decided to ride a Speedco instead of his Rift that he's been on for the past year or two. So
yeah,
he looked really good on the Rift. So it's kind of surprising he changed right now in Olympic year.
You mean his style didn't completely change when he switched bikes?
What?
It's gonna go through rigorous suspension testing and motor testing and all that.
I get, you know, I always talk like it's a big deal. It really isn't. I guess.
Yeah, huge deal.
Yep. In my head, it's like, dude, if one day I. Some people don't get it, but like, dude, 1 degree on some things changes stuff a shit ton. You change the head tube angle 1 degree, that's massive.
No, it's definitely different to get used to, but.
BMX is a BMX. Yeah, figure it out.
Maybe got a better deal. Who knows?
Yeah. And yeah, the second Huffy. One. Yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
Huffy is back in BMX. How about that? Wouldn't never guessed.
When's the last time? Yeah, when's the last time they had like a race team?
Fuck. I have no idea, dude. Before I started racing, I don't know.
What have they been doing? They've been doing freestyle stuff?
I don't even think they have, dude. They maybe some bikes have still been in Walmarts around the world just trying to sell those off. I haven't seen Huffy. Like Huffy is just the joke. They're not a joke of a brand, but it's been the joke among like Walmart brands for a while. Like, oh, what are you going to do? Go buy a Huffy from Walmart? Like they were a huge brand back in the day.
They were huge. Like Randy Stumphauser rode for them. They were a huge brand.
Yeah, especially in freestyle too, massive. So it's it was quite a shock. I think it's quite surprising they're back. Carly Kane is the one who, 15 posted about it. Carly Kane's riding for Huffy. A little bit just surprising that they've come out with like just her as their rider because I feel like if a brand that big is trying to make a big splash, you might want to at least get a couple big pro names in there to hit it hard. So, I mean, Carly's a big name in the US, so hopefully they can do something with that, but hopefully it's not just like, okay, we only got one person and then it just dies out. Like, let's see a big brand come back into the sport.
Think of those sponsoring someone, they're probably making an investment back into the sport too. I mean, comes with the territory of it.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. It's cool. It's a big name, big brand. So who knows what to go on from there.
I saw you put out a cool video on Connor too on YouTube. I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's just, I was, literally I don't have a TV in my house. So all I do is scroll YouTube all day long. And a video popped up. I watched it. It was, where's the video? I have it somewhere in here. I can't find the name of it. I don't know. It was something to do with Connor's outdoor show. It was maybe the same people or maybe a different company that actually did the video. But it was just talking about his his Olympic journeys and stuff and then kind of moving on from the sport after. It's a really well-done video. I was like, holy smokes, that was cool. So if you need something to watch lately, go check it out. I think it's only like 10 minutes long.
He's got, when you think about it, he's got a pretty fascinating Olympic career because in London, he was 19. We had lane one in the main and then cheesed it, didn't win.
Yeah.
Gets hurt before Rio, doesn't race at all that year, basically comes back and wins the gold medal, then goes to his third Olympics and has a horrific accident. He kind of got the full treatment, really, at the, like, it wasn't, I mean, I know everyone has a unique, Olympic experience in their own way, but man, he really got the full bag at the three he went to.
Three completely different ones. Unbelievable. Yeah. And we always talk about, like, other sports, like, athletes finishing their career, and then they kind of don't know what to do. They find their lane. And a lot of people in other sports, like the top guys will just go into like some kind of like football guys. They just become commentators, do media stuff. BMX, we don't really have that avenue, but Connor's kind of doing something like that where he's doing some media gigs now and kind of making a way with the name in that sense.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I want to see his Outdoor Nevada stuff too. All right, let's get to the Desert Classic. I enjoyed my weekend there. Had a good time coaching my riders, seeing them in person, talking to people. So appreciate people that came up and talked to me about training or coaching or coffee chat or whatever. I really enjoyed it. I just like being around the races. It's something I'm very passionate about and I like doing. Before we get into the races, I'm going to talk about my Airbnb situation a little. It was a normal situation, I mean, for today's day and age. But here's what happened. I just rented a room off of in someone's house.
The classic Airbnb private in their room. Yeah.
Yeah. So they gave me the directions. I go there Friday night and it's like 8 p.m. or no, maybe later. I don't know. 8, 9 p.m. whatever. Have dinner and then go there. So they have put in the directions just, yeah, the key code, whatever. Just walk up and like do the code and walk in. So I go up to the door and I'm like, I don't see the keypad initially. I'm like, God, I hope I'm in the right fucking place. I'm just going to walk into someone's house. Walk into someone's house, type in the code. And I literally just walk in to their house. No one's there. I say hello. No one answers. And I just follow the directions, walk to my room at the end and just like unpack my shit. And then they're like, hey, Tori. And then I walk out and the lady's name is Jessica. And so she like, I just talked to her for a bit. She was really friendly, whatever. Then she just like goes back in her room, which I'm assuming her and her husband were in there or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's kind of just like, yeah, just like stayed the night in the room and left the next morning and whatever. I know it's commonplace these days, but it's a little weird, no? Like to just walk into someone's house as a stranger, like security issues. Obviously, I'm a normal guy, but I could have not been.
Yeah. could have been a kind of robber. Could have been doing something sketchy.
Yeah, could have been. Like, what if I was a serial killer?
Yeah.
What if, you know, what if you rented your house out to someone, obviously you don't know them, like could be a serial killer they're just walking in your house. Like safety wise, it doesn't seem.
Yeah.
I know it's common nowadays, but it's a little weird.
Yeah, that's a chance people take though on Airbnb nowadays.
Yeah. Which
I think it is just like, you got to think, who are the people that are really using Airbnb? And I think that's why they have the ratings and stuff of like yourself. Like the people, like they can see how many times you've probably done it, like rented an Airbnb and blah, blah, blah. So they must feel like okay about it. But yeah, it is a little weird too. Like I've done the private room maybe twice, I think. Mm-hmm. And like the one time I did it, it was kind of interesting because there was two of us sharing or renting a room, sorry, on the second floor. So the guy had the bottom floor and he had two rooms on his top floor. So he just rented those out. So same idea, like just had the code eventually said hi to the guy. But I remember it wasn't until like the next day because I rolled in late or something. It's just weird. I wouldn't want to do it with my place. Like if I was renting a place, like a room out, like
I know,
I want it to be someone I know. I don't want to just like rando walking in and being like, hey, how's it going? I'm going to my room. Okay, bye.
I know. I mean, it's a good way for people to earn some income on the side of their house, but yeah, it's a little, I think, dangerous, honestly.
Yeah. Who do you think feels more sketchy, though, like the homeowner or you? Because that's the thing, like they might feel.
I wasn't concerned for my safety. I wasn't, because they were like super hosts and they have like a bunch of reviews. So it's like, well, I kind of vetted, but
yeah,
I mean, yeah. So it's probably more, it's probably sketchy for the person because then, you know, random people know where you live and like just walk in. Like that seems way. I don't know.
So when you leave, this I always have a question about too. So because I had a code when I did it too. When you leave, do you think the code gets changed? Like how often does the code get changed?
They change it. So okay. Most things you can change it whenever. So for sure they would create a unique code for each guest.
Okay, yeah. Because you're not coming back like a couple days later. Oh, I'll just walk back in. That would be sketchy.
Oh, that's sketchy as fuck. Yeah, they would just do like a code, new code for each person.
Give me a little rundown of how your trip was. Like, when did you actually leave? When did you go? Yeah. Give me the deets.
Left early Friday morning, headed to Phoenix. Got there for the Worlds qualifier because I had, handful of my U.S. riders were there trying to qualify for the Worlds.
Nice. Okay.
I believe they actually all did, which was awesome.
Hell yeah.
And then, obviously the national the next 2 days, pretty good size race, like 300 plus motos.
That's
so
good.
The national was like Phoenix as you would think of it, you know?
Yeah.
Some of the older amateur classes too had some bigger rider count. So the quality of the amateur racing was really high.
Solid. Good. Love to hear it.
Yeah. So I hung out at Answer and I just coached my riders, did my thing and enjoyed the weekend.
The Desert Classic is back, baby. It's a staple. It's a pro race. It always should be. And let's keep it that way because And when it's a pro race, it's a big amateur race too, right? It's just like it's under the lights Friday night, like that final. It just looks so cool to me. I love that.
Yeah, I know. And they had a classic warm-up area, which is just fantastic. Oh, I love that. God. I love that it's still there. It is what it is. You got to hang it in the Louvre and just enjoy it.
They've got so many messages on Instagram of people just talking about this. One guy was like, he's sitting, he was like, his tent was right beside some other guys. He's like, yeah, you guys probably shouldn't be doing that. And they didn't listen. Apparently they came back with like flat tires all around.
Classic, yeah. Yeah. Dude. It's, you can't ride there. No. It's not, and you can't.
No, pointless.
The track, they had a ton of rain. Like California and Arizona and Nevada got hammered with rain last week.
Okay.
So I heard like Bubba and the crew were out to 3 a.m. the night before trying to get the track ready. Okay. I think it got better each day. The first day there was still some ruts and stuff, which is to be expected with the amount of rain. But overall, man, they did a good job with the track considering it was underwater.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I saw that too. And like I wasn't like, we know Phoenix. They always have a good track there. Like the training videos from the other riders being there weeks before, like from Lexus and Cam, like everything looked really, really dialed. So bummer to see it like that because there's nothing you can do about it. But kudos to them for getting it going because it seemed like it still raced really well.
Yeah. I think a lot of riders didn't like the second straight. It's really, it was like fairly tech and stuff. Yeah. Especially the younger riders. But obviously, I didn't ride it. But I think the track for racing, I think, worked pretty well. Like there was some passing and stuff.
Was it tech on the AM side or the pro side? Because the pro side looked pretty small, I'd say. For
the pro side was pretty small, but I think a lot of the younger amateurs thought the second straight was pretty tech. And same with the end of the rhythm section is a bit deeper.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it definitely did. Like the going into that last turn there, even for the pros, like it definitely looked like, I mean, we'll talk about it, some of the races, but it caused a little bit of chaos in some moments.
All right, let's just get into it. Let's just start there. Sunday, Cam Wood cleans out Cam Larson in the last corner. What are our thoughts on it?
I fucking love it. We're Answer BMX. We're Cam Wood guys. We're big time Cam Larson guys as well, though. So it's tough to see. But one of our guys on Instagram, Josh Petrucci.
I saw this message with you guys. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's just basically like, you know, like give me the details. Like, what is it? A good move? Is it a bad move? Is there any unwritten rules? All that kind of stuff. And I was like, you know what? Honestly, coming for myself, I saw an open door. I think it's all fair game. You're going for a win and you see an open door. He didn't T-bone him. He got his elbow in front of him. So to me, that's like, that's enough of an open door and enough of trying to make a pass to like, if it blows up, fuck it. It blows up. It's part of it. That's fucking BMX.
No, I agree with the sense it was open. And I think Cam Larson obviously went a bit wide to the last corner to carve the turn because it's kind of a tight dirt turn, obviously, too. So you can't like go.
Yeah, I thought Cam, did he mess up a little bit in the rhythm? And like Larson, did he like shoot out to the outside? Like, because
I think nothing huge, but in the middle, you could tell. Yeah, he got a little off balance. I don't think it was anything major, but he lost a little speed and went to the outside. But I think he probably would have entered outside anyway because, I mean, the last turn's dirt and it's not like you can.
You're not carving.
You can't go right. No. So the move was open, and obviously Cam Wood is just wants to go for the win and probably doesn't give a shit, especially because he didn't. I'm sure he's, maybe more so because he didn't win the first 2 days.
100%. Yeah.
At the same time, though, his moves aren't working. Like, this one, like, in all honesty, this one, the one at the Grands on Joris and the two on Isaac last year, like, they're not working. And you can make an argument, and like, I don't think the moves are like a problem. Like I'm fine with aggressive racing and going for passes if that's what like how you want to race. Mm-hmm. But I think he needs to take a look and be like, okay, it's not working because you're like, they've all ended up in blowups with him and the other rider. So it's like either they're too aggressive and they're not there, or you need to change the technique of them. Cause it doesn't like, it kind of just charged up the inside, ran into him and they both crashed. And I'm not saying he meant to take him out because I don't think he did at all. But it's like you could try to make the move better. Like you could try to carve the turn, like even like tap your brakes a bit in a corner like that and try and make the corner. But like you kind of just went in and blew up. And like it's not a sustainable way to race because you're going to hurt you might like not hurt yourself physically, but you're hurting yourself like financially and with results. Like something needs to change. I think better decision making and maybe knowing when and when not to go for it and like looking at the percentages of the move.
Right.
And perhaps probably some technique because right now what he's doing isn't working. It's not.
That's fair. Yeah. The percentage wise of those moves is not on his favor. That's for sure. I will say I think other than the Grands one where I think that was like a do or die situation. Everyone he's gone into like in those situations where we're saying like it didn't work out. I see it as like an open door, but like that's like a racer's going to try to make that move. So mm-hmm. in saying that, I agree with you that something needs to change on the technique then to start making those stick. Because I see the door wide open there. The one on Joris and the Grands, tough one. Like you're battling for a championship. You don't want to give it up. So you're going to try something, but the technique mm-hmm. wasn't there. He crashed when he started pedaling mid turn. And then the other ones are too far back. I'm not going to comment on anything specific. Those are the whatever. So I agree. I think, yeah, something needs to change. But I like personally the fact that he's at the top and he's still not settling. Like there's some guys mm-hmm. that'll settle, be like, you know what? Fuck it. Okay. I'll just would go in. I'm not going to go for it kind of thing. I'll wait to the next one. He's like, I want to win everything. I'm just going to try to go after everything and do everything I can. I see where you're coming from though. There's something to change.
No, I think going for the win is great, especially at his level. Like he's not interested in second or third. He wants to win, which is why he's going to be a multi-time champion in the series and whatever, but it's not working. Like the game plan is now isn't working. Like it needs to be a bit more calculated, I think, in when you do it and how you do it, or else it's going to keep ending up in crashes. And it's kind of like, what's the point?
Yeah. I wonder what his background is like. Like I never knew Cam as a young racer, like something like Ryan too, because we could ask him, was Cam like a pack rider back in the day, or was he a hole shotter? Like I want to know that stuff, because I always refer to some people being horses because they grew up on a flat hill. People that can spin grew up on fast tracks. And I think this same thing comes back around to like being somebody who makes passes, somebody who's a pack rider. If you grew up in the pack and you grew up having to make those passes, you're probably going to do really well at making those passes. Maybe he's somebody who never really was making those passes then. He was never really going for it. And now he's in a position that he is, but he just doesn't have that like that history to fall back on of knowing the body position, when to make the contact, how to make the contact and use that contact right out of it. You're somebody I feel like could be really good to almost help with that. Like you were great at being able to, one, find an open door out of nowhere, but two, like make contact in a way that was, one, if it was needed, it was needed and it was beneficial for you. It was like, I'll go in, mm-hmm. make contact, but get out of this clean.
Like it almost looks like he's going for the move and then doesn't quite know how to stick it. Doesn't quite know how to make it work.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Some of them have been tough. Like this one, dirt turn, like that's really tough. To go into a turn, you really have to like, you need to get low and lay some body, I feel like, to make
that one stick. No, it's true. Like, so these moves, like, say the moves he's tried to win the last, like, whatever, year that haven't worked. It's like, yeah, it's not going to work every time because they're pretty dicey moves and everyone's going fast. So some of them aren't going to work, maybe half of them. But if they're all not working, then something needs to change because, yeah, it's just, it's...
He's got the speed and he's got like he knows when to find the openings. He just needs to have that technique to get it done.
Maybe that's it. Yeah. Maybe a bit of both, but if it's not working every time, then I think it needs to be reevaluated.
Yeah. I got to say on the other hand, Cam Larson, did he surprise you? Cause he surprised the hell out of me to be able to hold shot.
Holy
like
shit,
he did.
Was he fast. He was so fucking fast. He worked everyone Friday, especially. Worked him. Wasn't even close.
I got his video up here, like or the main and stuff. Like, dude, I was watching the main. I was like looking at Cam Wood the whole time. And like literally the second pedal was like, boom, Larson was like half a bike ahead. And I was like, what the fuck just happened?
He was so much faster than everyone on the first straight. It wasn't close. Yeah. The first Friday was one of the more impressive mains I've seen in a while. Yeah, he was fast. And he whole shot all 3 days. So he was very consistent and not much else to say. He was very dominant. I was surprised because obviously Cam Wood is fantastic and it's his home track. I thought that would be more of him this weekend, actually.
You know what I'll say though about it is like, Black Mountain, Phoenix too, like that gate is odd. It's not the normal angle. The gate's a little steeper than after. You're quite at a steep angle. So I think you have to change, maybe not change your form, but you're not doing the same gate form you would as on these Pro Gate Europes that are set up dialed with the perfect angles on the perfect hills. You know what I mean? You're having to do things differently. And it seems like Cam's form, the way he just shoots out of the gate, Cam Larson's form, the way he comes out of the gate, it seemed like it was much more efficient for this hill, or he adapted it to be more efficient. Whereas Cam Wood didn't look to me like he was doing his normal gait that you'd see him do on a supercross hill.
Which is weird because he rides the track every week. So you'd think he would probably have it better.
You think he does the gate all the time? Like, does he know that it's not like,
I mean, I'm sure he does often, like, especially with the race, like, I'm sure he does.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. A lot. I guess, I mean, sometimes though, it's like if it's not working, like if you're never feeling like there's no, if you know it's not going to be the gate of like the World Cups and stuff, and you're like, all right, I'm not really ever going to worry about it. I'm just going to do my training. Like, maybe he's doing that. Like, have you ever been to a track where you're like, you know, it's always different, or the gate's different than what you're always going to ride? So you're like, I'll just put up with it and not try to perfect it.
What do you mean exactly?
I don't know what I'm trying to get. I'm trying to get at like the fact, like sometimes like we used to ride a ridge all the time, and that gate is very similar, and we used to train there all the time, but I was never good at the gate. And I always said to myself, well, like, I don't really care, because we're not going to race here, and this gate's not like any other gate anyways. Yeah.
Mm.
So
yeah,
that's kind of what I was getting.
I kind of see what you're saying, but really, I mean, your gate shouldn't change too much, even if the gate's a little janky.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. But that's true.
I mean, Cam Wood was really good though. Like, he was fast. He just didn't have it against Cam Larson, but no one did.
Yeah, fair. He was so fast, dude. He looks so good. Him, that answer backed S squared dude, the black kit, the white kit, like the day-to-day kit.
Yours today.
Oh my God, does that look good?
Boy, he put on a first rate clinic this past week.
It's really incredible, dude. He's flying right now.
Speaking of first straight clinics though, Brody Cole, man, is that kid impressive. Won the Grands last year, was super fast, and holy shit, was he good this weekend. Won a lot of laps too. Man, he is very fast.
Yeah. He rides for 110%, right?
Yes.
So what class does he race on the pro days? He's amateur still, I guess, on the pro days. I know he's racing like U23 on the UCI day.
No, he raced pro.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
He won a lot of laps too.
Nice. Okay. Well, that's cool. So something that I need to look out for is what I'm hearing.
Very fast rookie pro. Like, I haven't seen a rookie pro this fast in a while. Seriously.
Really? Hey.
Yeah. Really impressive. Yeah.
I remember seeing watching in the amateur days, like he had the first straight speed to battle with like a lot of dude, top he's guys
got,
out there.
So. He's got like a Cam Larson-esque first straight.
Really? Hey.
Yep. He's going to hole shot a lot.
How's he on the track?
I'm fine. Like, okay. Yeah.
I'll have to keep an eye out for him. That'll be good.
You know what? It's hard to, like, honestly, most USA BMX tracks, anyone can ride them. So it's not, you know, like, it was fine. Like, I didn't notice anything like bad or anything, but.
Yeah, that's fair.
I do think though, that is a difference between top amateurs and pros is the speed around the track. Like you do see that. The pace of the laps is so much higher in elite. And I don't think amateurs coming right out of the amateur classes initially are quite ready for it to do a lap after lap.
They probably think, You don't realize it because you're not racing against them until you really get in there. Even if you're training with it, it's different than that race speed.
Like the overall pace is way higher. Yeah.
How about Neek just showing up classic like we thought he might? Just showing up for the Friday race. That dog, dude.
That dog. I was getting messages from people like, is Neek going? Is Neek going? They're like, oh my God, I see him here. He's here.
That's so funny, dude.
I love how he just shows up for Friday and then races well and then just leaves.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So good, dude. Yeah, he drove in on Thursday night, I think, got there late and just hammered down. So that was cool. Cool to see him like just do a classic Neek from lane 8 and just get on the box.
He won some good laps too. Like, he was quick. He wasn't as quick off the start, but his pull on the first straight was really good. Like, you just can't let him shift on the long first straight. Amateur mistake if you let him shift.
Yeah, that's true. I think he's looking dangerous for like the upcoming World Cups and that kind of stuff. If he's doing well there at the small hill, careful on the long first straight supercross hill.
Think about it. If he's been training on supercross, which he's like naturally better at, I would say, and his style suits, and then he goes to a normal hill and first straight and is very competitive and does well, he's ready.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. It's going to be exciting.
Really good. Good guy who rides hard and loves the sport, Freddie Villegas. Just three out of three mains for our guy. Fucking love Freddie. Caught up with him for a while. His Riff Tangent was pitting right across from Answer S Squared Get Yours today on Vendor Row. So it was good to catch up with Freddie. Just, I love that guy. You just always root for Freddie.
Always smiles, like you say, just absolutely loves the game, works hard, just goes into the boards hard every time. If you know, he'll just get pucks in deep and just get after it every time.
Yeah, absolutely. Digs pucks out of the corner, takes the hit to make the play, and Freddie keeps going.
That's so funny. He is. That was cool to see him. He's like a... I don't see as much from him these days. I just see him at a lot of races, I feel like. And I feel like for him, that's a good thing. Like, just getting laps in. And he's three mains. I mean, fantastic.
Yeah, very consistent. Picardo, Tony B, as people were calling him, his first straights are really coming around. Like, had some laps where he was battling with some of the bangers into the first corner, which, you know, a guy like him, he excels around the track and especially making moves. So if he keeps building on his first straight, he can be very dangerous anywhere.
Yeah, I agree. Sorry, she got a random message right now. Anyways, yeah, he's it's really cool to see that he's putting in some serious work on his first straight speed, because he's always been a great bike rider. That's been his bread and butter. That's been his staple. It's kind of what's backed him up through the days, that maybe he's not putting in the quality of training that he could be. And now that he's doing both, like, he really looks like a really full package racer out there now.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, he's getting stronger and more explosive on the first straight. And he's super fast around the track.
And he's just still staying shibby. Like, just, you know, everything about him is just still just shibby, sauce thing. Trip. So, yeah, it's enjoying to see him do well on the circuit.
Corby did what we expected, was just there and fast in the desert. That's what he does.
Corby Del Estero, you know?
Corby, Arizona, baby. Yeah,
start calling Corby, Arizona. It's just one of those guys. You love to see him out there still, just, you know, grinding, doing his thing. He's one of the few of your generation that are still out there banging bars, making a living, doing his thing.
I don't think there's many from my year anymore. Well, Corbin, Sylvan.
Who on the USA BMX circuit, really? Just kind of him, right?
Corbin, yeah. I think that's it.
Jet, was the Jet your age?
Yeah.
So he's gone.
Connor, Corbin, Jared, yeah.
The main crew. Yeah.
I think it's mostly just Corbin, yeah.
Pretty sad. Crazy. Would you expect him to be the last of you three to still be doing it?
Yeah, because I think he loves riding his bike, and he stayed very injury free in his career too, which I think makes a big difference.
Right. Yeah, I could see that. He seems like he's, I don't want to say he's peaking well right now, but he looked great to me out there the laps I saw him in, and like, it just seems like that time of the year, if he's trending in the right direction, I mean, could be good, could be bad for USA BMX and trying to, or the USA Cycling and trying to get their spots for the Olympics. Like, it's gonna be tough now, I think.
I think that he's got to really ball out at the World Cups if they're gonna get two spots.
They're
in trouble. They're US in trouble for two spots.
Let me just go take a look too, because yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Jay Smooth, Larson, and Wood right now as their top point getters.
Yeah, so he's not even gonna count his points.
That's tough. It's tough because if he's trending, hopefully Jay Smooth is trending really well, and then they got four of them, and hopefully they can get to that two spots. If they can get to the two spots, holy,
I think the two cams. I think it's got to be the two cams at this point that do something.
Oh, it's gonna be really. I want to find. I should find 15 BMXs. They probably have a breakdown of like the points and the rankings, but I'm pretty sure. Let's see here. So I'm at the BMX Racing Olympic qualification stuff, France, Colombia, Switzerland, and then US is in fourth right now. So they are actually in a spot to get two. And if GB passes them.
Oh, they are. Okay.
If GB passes them, which it's possible. Why did they move up? They moved up here. It says they moved up. Wood, Larson, Smith. Yeah.
After Argentina, I guess, probably too.
Probably after that. And now they've had like UCI races where probably Larson got more points. And
they still, I think, I mean, they're still like on the chopping block. They still have to perform really well to get two spots.
Yeah. Cause it goes, yeah, to get to right now, Switzerland, US in fourth, Great Britain in fifth, and then Netherlands in sixth. So, I mean, you know, the Netherlands can come out of nowhere and get like a bunch of points with Niek, Vanderberg, Schottmann, O'Brien. Like, yeah. So.
Gotta be a travesty if the US men get one spot.
Oh my
US gosh. With one spot at the Olympics. That's not right.
Crazy. That just seems weird.
It's not right. You need at least two. Should be getting three, but need at least two.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Interesting. All right, let's get into elite women.
Yeah, let's do it. I was quickly going to say, I was up on the Pull BMX page. Dude, I love that they just have a huge link at the top of their website that's just pro points. I love that. Just gave me the pro points. So I just hit it, and I got a breakdown of the pro points right now. I know it's too early to get into that kind of stuff because nobody has scores, but had to shout that out because I didn't even realize that, but it's fantastic.
Larson already with three wins.
Dude, yeah, he's quick to three. Yeah.
So Luke Howes, before I forget, messaged Instagram a while ago, and I just resaw the DM.
Okay.
Or I think he had messaged me. I think he had messaged me, actually.
Okay.
He said, what if with a series you couldn't drop any races, you had to count all your races, kind of like Supercross, Monster Energy Supercross. And actually like the World Cup Series, I guess, too.
Well, I don't think World Cup drops any. Oh, so you're saying like, what if USA BMX was like that? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What if it was like that, where you, you counted everything?
I mean,
every single weekend.
I think there's just too many. There's too many races too spread apart.
It's not feasible probably because there's other series, I guess. So maybe it's not like realistic.
Yeah. I'm trying to think kind of like, what are the reasons why it isn't like that? I think it's just because it's like, it is just such a long series that is so spread out with so many different races. I got to think that's kind of why, like, if you made it.
Makes it more. Let's say it makes it more competitive to not count every race.
Right. People would have to spend a lot of money to make sure they're getting to more races instead of just like being able to pick and choose almost to make sure. Yeah, it does. It makes the Grands more exciting because you get guys like Joris in the past years who he doesn't have to live here anymore to be able to compete for the championship because he can pick races, make sure he does well at those races, and then come in competitive on points.
Yeah. Yeah. And some guys can just go like, I don't know, get a handful of firsts and seconds and compete with the guy who won more because they're not counting all of them.
Yeah. Is it a good thing that, or would it be cool if they switched it for some time? Sure. But
it would help the series probably because more people would go to everything, most likely.
Yeah, it could. Would it maybe deter like other, I guess, yeah, I was going to say this. Would it deter other pros from other countries from trying to compete for the title? But I guess not many of them are doing that right now.
What you might have to do in that situation is stagger the series. So have like, I don't know, the USA BMX be like
blocks.
Yeah, like August to November, and then World Cup Series is like March to July, like March to World. That would be cool, actually. March to July, and then August to November. But then I guess not everyone does the World Cups. But yeah, I mean, something like that would be kind of cool.
I'm saying this was a thought back in the day, but I think we brought this up before, where it's like in an alternate universe, alternate world, it would be cool to have the World Cup Series be the first block of the year, have a break until Worlds midsummer, and then have USA BMX and Euro races, like their separate series, the last block of the year.
I love it. I love it.
Oh, and hell yeah. They're not going to do that. Nobody's going to do that.
No, but that'd be really cool, I think. Yeah. And then the other, you could just have pro open classes or whatever they have at the first few, if like a pro wants to go to a race. Yeah.
Yeah. I think if you did that, you'd have to condense the World Cups to maybe make people go from race to race to race, which would be expensive, but if you condensed it into like a 2-month span and said, here, we're going to have like a race every 2 weekends.
That's so like what they're doing the next 3 months.
Pretty much what they're doing the next 3 months. Yeah.
So exactly what they're doing. We just stick with.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Elite women. I had a first class front row seat to Ava Corley almost killing herself on the fence on the first day of racing. This was so gnarly.
For real?
Semi-final. Semi-final. I'm standing like by the finish line, like in the infield. Semi-final. She's battling for fourth, throws at the line. She's on like the left side of the track where the fence is. You know those fences
too? I need to find
this
shit right now, dude. I didn't see this.
No, it was fucking gnarly, dude. She throws and then straight up slams the fence and just stops, like boom, stops and then falls through. It was one of those, I gasped and put a hand over my mouth. I was legitimately concerned. She snapped an arm or a leg off. And then she just gets up and they're like, are you okay? Like people were concerned. Everyone was. And she's just fine. And then hops up. And then, yeah, I was talking to her the next day. I was like, that was so gnarly. You okay? And she's like, yeah, she's fine. I guess she fell like, there's the gap in the fence. And I guess she fell through. She like slammed and went through the gap.
Oh my God.
Yeah, she's fine. But the bang was huge. I think it must've been her like, I don't know, bar, stem, fork, just absolutely hammering the fence. It was scary.
I'm watching this right now. It's just gotta be
semi on Friday.
First one. One, two. I don't know three. Which one. Oh yeah, that's her battling right there. That's her battling. Oh, you don't get to see it, but I can see that she's going off set. Oh, dude. Everyone's head turned. Everyone's head like, oh.
It was gnarly. Like, seriously.
Holy crap.
No, I'm glad she's okay because that was scary.
That would have been wild, hey?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Elise won, but she didn't actually win a lot of laps. Like she got beat quite a bit in motos and really just put it together when she had to.
Really? Eh? Wow.
Yeah. It was kind of, I don't know exactly why obviously, but yeah, she didn't look like her usual self in motos, was getting pulled down the first straight in some laps. But then, when it came down to the final, she put it together like Elise can and did it. So it was impressive, but yeah, it was interesting to see that she didn't win a lot of laps actually.
Wonder if she's in that like mid block getting ready for the big race coming up. Maybe
probably,
just like kind of struggling to get through the laps. But you know, she's like, okay, when it's time to muster up the energy and just actually they went down. It was time.
It's what a champion does. She can always put it together when she needs to, no question.
Yeah, crazy. She's done it before, I think, too. It happens sometimes, but it's just like, man, she really knows when it's time to fucking go and like it's main event time. She knows how to just lay it all on the line and just get everything out of herself.
Yeah. Delaney was really fast too. Like her starts were awesome. Won some laps, but she just couldn't quite keep up like the second half of the first straight with Al. Okay. Like Al would beat her kind of like halfway to the turn and onto the corner. She'd kind of pull her. So top end speed. But yeah. Delaney was really, really quick too.
Good stock to have. Great stock.
Fuck yeah, it's paying dividends.
Yeah.
Laza Bear was good enough to win, I think, especially the second day. Like she won, she like straight up hole shot, won a lot of laps, won her semi too, and then just got squeezed out a bit in the main.
Yeah.
But I was legit thinking Laza was going to win on Saturday.
That's sick. I mean, she's,
yeah.
She looked like last year, her starts looked like they're very competitive against like the top girls. So she's older in age, but she keeps stepping it up little by little. Like she keeps finding ways to get a little bit better. So that's really cool to hear. Hopefully like she can get that win because she's always on the box. She's always getting those seconds and thirds. You'd love to see her just get a couple wins in there now too.
Podium machine, just a human ATM out there.
Crazy.
Just cashing in podium every day. But yeah, like her first straights, especially on a flat hill, like gate and first straight is like, it looks some of the best it's had. The best it's looked, I think.
Dude, I just watched her Saturday main. She popped a 1-2-3 off. Like
dude, front she wheel was up. Pulling.
That didn't look like it was a full wheelie. It was like, I'm laying power down right now.
Yeah, won her semi. Like, she won a lot of laps.
Yeah, that's sick. No loss. Yeah. That's BMX, baby. Get yours today.
Lexi ate shit the first day. Did you see her crash?
Dude, yeah.
Oh, my God. I laughed just
because, oh, my gosh, do I not miss anything like that. That looked like it hurt so much.
Oh, my God, didn't it? Like, fucking slammed.
Just absolute hip check into the roller to just
bounce. Oh, man. Oh. And she didn't race the rest of the weekend, especially with New Zealand coming up. I'm sure she could barely walk the next day.
Yeah, you're limping. You got a big old bruise on your hip the next day, I feel like, after that one.
Straight airborne bounce off the jump.
Probably smart to just chill a little bit. There's no point. Like, if you're going to be a little sore, like, let's just rest up. There's bigger races coming up.
Which sucks for her because she was riding really well, too. And obviously, her home race, I'm sure she was excited for it. Probably had family and friends there and home crowd and whatnot. That no doubt wanted to have a good result. But, yeah, I'm glad she's okay, obviously.
I didn't see her motos, but like that final, like she got out really well, which is why she was in that pinch box in such an awkward spot. So that's good to see her riding well, but bummer we didn't get to see more out of her.
I think if you're looking back on the last year, like last rolling calendar year, I think Lexi's one of the most improved in the class.
I big time agree. Yeah. If we were going to give a most improved out, I think she would be taking that for sure.
Brianna Winter, another good pro. I followed her progress the last couple of years. I enjoy watching her race.
Nice.
Especially from, obviously had a good amateur career. And it's fun to watch young guns like her and Ava and JC Moore mix it up in the elite women's class now. They're all great riders. And they're kind of, you can see they're kind of finding their way, finding their speed. And like, you know, very, very challenged with the women's class and the depth of it, especially coming from amateur. It's not an easy class to step into. And it's cool to see them all progress.
That's cool. Some people to look out for. Like, it feels like there are like a good handful in the men's and other women's too, like to look out for the next year or two, like watching them progress and find their way into it. So good things for the sport.
Yeah. Really good things. I think that's all I had for elite women, actually.
Yeah, definitely. How were the class sizes for both? Like elite women didn't look massive. They were pretty good. Men pro
women had... Looked to I think me, women had like 19, so they had semis, and then the men had quarters. Did they have quarters? I can't remember if they had quarters.
They had 19. Dude, the final on the second on Saturday, they had like five person final.
In women's?
Yeah.
I think you're thinking Sunday. Sunday, like.
Oh, I'm looking at day three. Yeah, I'm looking at day three. The whole time we were talking about Laza Bear popping a 1-2-3 off, I'm looking at day three. Nice, James.
Okay, yeah. So
nice, James.
I think some didn't race. Some probably raced. I think some raced junior and U23, so it's probably why it's less Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Friday, Saturday, that semis, like the class was deep. The motos were tough in the women's class, and
That's good to hear. It's funny how like in the women's class, the small hill races usually are the bigger ones.
Yeah. Makes sense, I guess.
They don't all want to be racing Supercross, so.
Yeah.
Which is fair.
Fair enough. But no, the pro racing was good, actually. The depth was pretty solid. I enjoyed watching it.
Yeah, good battles. Yeah, I was watching the wrong day for one of the times we were talking about that.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah, we'll just keep moving past on. It. Yeah, it is what it is, so love it.
And yeah, we're on to New Zealand. I think most of the pros will head there this this coming weekend. So I think, guess next week we're on a World Cup preview show.
We got one, I think 1 week before that. But I think we should try.
It's not this weekend, but it's next weekend, isn't it? Yeah.
It's not this. Oh, shit. It might be. Let's try. Yeah, let's do World Cup preview. That's exciting. I got a suggestion for a guest we should try to get on ahead of time.
Who's that?
I think we'd go for like a New Zealand guy, like we usually try to do. Let's go for like a Rico or someone. Maybe Michael Bias, that'd be cool. But like it'd be good to get like a hometown guy. I saw Rico and on the news. Let's do it. So, yeah.
Let's get Rico on. That'd be cool to talk. We haven't had him on before.
Yeah. But it's exciting, really exciting. Oh, we got questions for the grandstands.
Right. I almost forgot. All right. Let's hear some questions. Do you have them up? I don't have them up.
I got them. Yeah.
All right.
First one from Mitch381. Two options only, but you pick one to bring back to World Cup. Time trial or a race at Chula Beijing?
You can't race at Chula Beijing. You can't. I think time trial, but I think you just have to have the right format for it, I think.
Fair. That's fair.
But I think it could be like, you know, you make an event out of it, you do a podium, the whole thing. I think time trial is really cool.
Agreed. I fucking love time trial.
Yeah, me too.
Look into it. It says, Watt bike record. Who would win it in BMX?
You know, I bet it's someone random. Like, are you talking absolute numbers or powered? I guess you're probably talking absolute numbers.
Let's go absolute. Well, yeah, absolute power. It's probably someone Jack like Romain. Oh, Jack Davis.
Jack Davis.
Yeah, Jack Davis would lay some ponies on Jack, that thing, I bet.
Jack would win. Jack would win.
Yeah, yeah. From T.O. Josh Larson, he says, where is Isaac Kennedy? Is he still recovering or prepping for Supercross? He's still prepping.
No idea, actually. I would assume.
Yeah, I've seen some stuff. He's in tip-top form, just waiting for the World Cups right now at this point.
Yeah, I'm sure.
From Andy Fish 22, were Cam Woods' turn decisions too aggressive considering the Olympic year?
I don't think that's I don't think that's really a factor.
Yeah, my answer is no.
I mean, how often do people actually get hurt in corners? It's like very rare.
Yeah. A lot of time it's like a bounce and roll. You maybe get a couple of bruises last week or two to survive.
Yeah, but you know, it is a good point. Like, there's something to consider with that. Like, you kind of got to weigh what you want, I guess. But yeah, like, sometimes if there's a really dicey move and it's high speed and it's Olympic gear, yeah, it might be better to just not.
It's a good point. Yeah. Our boy Ryan Tugas was in the chat here, just, you know, chatting me up, basically asking me some questions. But, you know, I miss Rye. He's in New Zealand right now, getting ready for the World Cup. So, I hope training's going to go well. Mm. From Sebas 404, I think this is an easy answer. He says, all right, Olympic final. Bike number one has no brakes. Bike number two has only flats. Which bike do you take?
Oh, the no brakes.
No brakes, absolutely. You just send it.
Yeah, no one's hitting brakes for sure.
No, you're not, and you're not going to win on flats, but you can win with no brakes.
100%. At least you go down swinging, if not.
Yeah, that's true. From Jono 253, watching the Cam and Cam crash in slow-mo. Larson grabbed Cam's bike. Strategic or accidental? I didn't see that, so probably accidental. If his hand slipped
The camera angle wasn't the best because it was from... One of them was from, like, the first turn or whatever, so you couldn't really... You didn't have a whole lot of perspective. The other one's from the finish line. It was hard to tell. So you couldn't see it that well from anywhere.
Yeah. I'd say accidental. If your hand slips off while somebody's blasting you and you're shoulder to shoulder, your hand just automatically ends up, like, on their bars.
Yeah, it was not like he was trying to do that.
And last one from Sean Chandler. Does Corby have a shot at taking the Olympic spot again this year? I think it's going to be really, really tough the way the Cams are riding. I'm talking
between really him tough. And Lart. It'd be between him and Larson, obviously.
I think so too, yeah. And it's
I don't think he gets it. I think the Cams go.
Yeah. Tough. I really think it comes, like, it's going to make a difference how they perform at these World Cups. I don't think Larson has a sure, like, he's done enough outside of the World Cups to prove that he's, I'd say, higher in the rankings than Corbin. But if Corbin comes swinging at these World Cups, I mean, how can you be like, oh no, we'll take Larson?
To be fair, Larson hasn't performed at any of the World Cups.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I'm, yeah. So, yeah.
What are Corbin's results like last year?
At the World Cups?
Yeah, or like the last 2 years, say.
Let me pull it up.
Like, do you have any off the top of your head? I can't think of any off the top of my head that like I can really think of.
No, but I want to look this up. So we're not going to just glance over this. We might have to glance over this. BMX results isn't working for me right now.
I don't think they've been great.
No, it's been hit or miss with like stuff on here. So, I mean, I can't even, maybe if I go to, hold on, this could work actually. Oh, look at you, James, finding a way to make it work. You know, we just find ways around it. No, results for him only go to 2020. So I can't see anything. Tough. Fuck. Shit.
All right, next question.
That's it. There might be more, but I copy and pasted right before the show. So I can't see the ones that came in right now.
Progate Europe, winning starts the Great Gate. We'll be back next week with a World Cup preview for New Zealand.
Can't wait for it. Can't wait for it. I'm delaying this because I'm not ready for the show to end, Tori. But I'm looking forward to
yourselves.
It's going to be great. So thanks for everyone listening. And don't forget, snap on green.
Snap on green.
Yeah, well, what's this friggin' podcast all about? I don't get it, man. Coffee chatter?
Get off my back, guys. You have to be fast in the track.
I hate that guy.